When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We have two visuals that you made. If you want to, guys want to follow along, you can see them on the Managing Mutual Twitter account. One is on Fede Valverde and one is on Tony Cruz.
Yeah, and the idea with this was to basically like focus. You know, we have a great crop of midfielders. Everyone knows that. A great bunch. If you look at the list, you have Luka Modric, Toni Kroos, you have Fede Valverde, you have Tchouaméni, you have Camavinga. You have excellent options, right? And this season in particular, I think we all can collectively agree it has been one of the best seasons we have seen from Kroos. We probably say this like multiple times over his 10-year period, but this season is truly like we are seeing something special, something out of our minds every time he steps on the pitch. And it's not just like, you know, the number of touches, the number of passes he's playing. Like he randomly pops up, he plays 100 passes, he completes like 91% of them, and he walks off. Like he's dominating that midfield like no other season that we have seen, and it's impressive because it has helped us a lot. You know, you look at his the visual that I posted was about his switches, and yeah, these are some of the most difficult passes to execute in football, because you need to time them well, you need to pick out a target perfectly so that they don't result in a turnover. Otherwise, you know, it's just going off, it's not reaching the target that you want. If executed perfectly, this gives you a great advantage. You can just loop over the opposition's block and you can create a chance. You are in behind immediately. And if you look at that visual, the thing that stuck with me the most was, you know, he has attempted a lot of switch passes. Like he has attempted some 92 of them. But look at his pass completion rate. Like it's ridiculous to me. Like even with those sort of passes, which are very risky, which, you know, usually players fail to get through, he has a almost 90% passing accuracy on those. So it's, we know he is a great passer. We know he's this behemoth in midfield. But this season, what we are seeing from Kroos in terms of how he is not just, you know, I was also looking at some other numbers. So, you know, we know his range and everything is fine. But if you look at his assist numbers this season, he has 7 assists, which is the same number as his last 2 seasons combined in the league. And on top of that, it's not just like the primary assist, but secondary assist, he has 6, and only 2 players in the league have more. So, you know, he is having this sort of ridiculous season. If you add it, like he's basically directly played a hand, or directly or indirectly played a hand in 13 of our goals in the league, which is crazy, because, you know, we do get a 10 assist season from him. We have gotten that back to back, but also like it's pretty impressive what I'm seeing. Like every game I watch Kroos play, I know what I'm going to see, but every time the game ends, I'm like, wow, we witnessed something really, really good from a midfielder that And that is my worry with him as well, because I also sort of, when the game ends, I'm like, fuck, how many more 90s do we have with him? Because we don't have any sort of player who can control the tempo, who can distribute the ball at that pace, who can, you know, with one click, he can switch the tempo, he can pace up the game, he can slow down the game. And now he's able to, like, you know, improve in that defensive aspect as well, where he can recover the ball and he can start that possession. So, you know, what I'm seeing with Cruz is, this is probably my favorite season from Cruz, just to put it out there. I think I've enjoyed watching him the most this season. And yeah, I mean, I would like to get your thoughts as well. I know we have all raved about Cruz after multiple games, but yeah, what have you guys thought?
Nothing to add, man. I loved it. I thoroughly enjoyed that entire monologue, man. Like, I brought up this point a few podcasts ago too. Like, we all say, like, we're gonna play a different way without Toni Kroos. It's just because there's no one like him. I'm still skeptical of, like, what that looks like. I understand what it looks like in theory. I understand we have two-way midfielders, so we're gonna carry the ball. We don't have anyone who can progress the ball as a passer the way Kroos does. I think Tchouaméni is the closest thing we have to that, actually. It's still not at the prolific and accurate rate that Kroos does, but I think his presence mitigates Kroos's loss in the future somewhat. So I think that's the guy probably you want to have. But there's no question. Like, I've thoroughly enjoyed the way he's playing this season. I'm kind of bummed out that he's playing the Euros. I don't want the dip next season if he comes back from that. But, you know, kind of excited for him to light up the Euros also. But, you know, it's going to be a tough world post Kroos, I think.
I think it's his best volume and pass accuracy, or joint highest pass accuracy and highest volume in the last, I think, 5 years per 90 or something. So, yeah, it's a great season. I mean, we had a period where, like, he didn't decline physically, but we didn't, like, bring young midfielders around him, and he still carried us with Modric for a couple years. And, I mean, those were hard to watch sometimes, like, in big games, you know? And so it was always coming that when we put the young guys around him, it was going to be a much better fit for him. I think our best bet to replace Kroos is to keep him and start Toni Kroos tutoring lessons at Castilla. That's the best bet, because there's nobody in, I mean, there was that metric Mark Stats shared the other day where, like, based on his efficiency metric, he is like 92 in that metric, and everyone else is at 70. The second highest is 72. So I thought, and, like, that's Rodri, you know, and I love Rodri, but I always thought, like, you know, I always felt he was more of a system player than Kroos, to be honest. I've long felt that. I think more of a system player than a Xavi or even a Busquets. I think those guys, I think Kroos is up there. I think Kroos, Xavi, Busquets will go down as the most reliable people on the ball ever. And Kroos has the crazy longevity that Xavi didn't have. He has higher pass volume than Busquets ever had. So, you know, he's going to go down as a GOAT. I mean, you can't, like, Barca got screwed when Xavi left, and also when Busquets left this year. So, you know, but hey, just don't go to outside, Kroos. Like, just stay around here.
He won't. He won't.
Yeah, yeah.
Kroos won't.
Then the tutoring lesson should go fine.
I love the idea. Like, could you imagine if we had Kroos and Modric as youth team coaches, just teaching these guys everything they know, the instinct, you know, how to play the game, where to be, where to pass it to. That would be incredible if we just had those guys be the director of our entire youth system. I'm dreaming, but that'd be an amazing post-retirement plan. I'd support that more than his podcast, and I love his podcast, even though I don't speak German. I like the sound bites I get, but I'd sign up for that. So before we move on, actually, Fede Valverde. Yash.
Yeah, and, you know, with Fede, I think every season we see a little bit different Fede in a lot of aspects. And I think he is probably the one player that has changed or evolved every season that we have seen. Like, he has adapted new roles. He has filled in, you know, all sorts of positions. He has played right back. He has played right wing. He has played in the double pivot. He has played as the wide midfielder. You know, there was a phase where, you know, he was our primary chance creator. Last season, we saw him shooting a lot. We saw him scoring a lot. So, you know, he has gone through these multiple phases. And I know that there's this consensus as well. We, you know, when you have seen him score goals, then the next season when he doesn't score as many goals, it's like, okay, he's not performing as well. Okay, he has gone up, he has taken a bit of a dip. But I feel like what we are seeing this season again from Valverde, the reason I shared his heat map is, you know, when you imagine Valverde, you imagine his influence all over the field, right? And that is what exactly his influence on the field in a heat map form looks like. He's everywhere. He's contributing on the flanks. He's helping defensively. And we have seen Carvajal's performance improve when Valverde plays along. And he has this cascading effect on the entire team when he plays, because he compensates for things that a lot of the people don't notice in a lot of ways. But also, I feel like this season we are seeing a little bit different version of him, where we are seeing him contribute to the end product as well, but also he's recovering the ball, and his on-ball performance has slightly improved in my sense from what I've gathered. He is recovering the ball, but now he is looking better in possession. He's still doing his bits. He's still taking those odd shots from range. He's still creating those chances. And I was looking at some numbers as well. Like, no player in the league has taken more 1-2 shots than Valverde, because he's great at playing those tidy exchanges in the final third, which really struck me, because I wasn't expecting. I was expecting somebody like Rodrigo to be there, and Rodrigo is up there. But you know, Fede Valverde has generated those shots 10 times. He's still creating a lot more chances. He is getting into those zones. He is making that run, still making those channel runs, and still getting the ball in. But also, what has struck me the most is how he is efficiently like winning the ball back and now kick starting that position. And I think that is one of the reasons why that double pivot that we saw with Cruz and Valverde in December worked well, because now he isn't just this leggy ball winner, but he's also grown and is a little efficient more in possession. And I think that is what impresses me the most about Valverde, because every season you pick each season of his and you see a different Valverde. Like, okay, on one hand, maybe we are not giving him the freedom, we are not giving him a fixed role to, you know, develop and hone that skill, but this is a player who has every season adapted to the squad around him and made players around him better. And I think that is a great skill and a great asset to have. And this season we are seeing that influence in terms of his ball playing ability, which I think has improved. I'll take your thoughts as well. I was just looking at some numbers as well for him, and I prepared some notes, and I'll quickly just go through that. So the reason I say that his passing accuracy in the sense his passing performance has improved is because this season only Gundogan has like recovered the ball and initiated more sequences that have ended in a shot in La Liga this season. So, you know, he is up there. He's winning. He's not just winning the ball. He has coupled that up with being able to push that possession forwards and create something meaningful from it. So I feel like this version of Valverde is different from the ones before. Maybe, you know, you might not like it. You might, but it's working. It's working for the team, and it's working for him as well. And maybe this is the next stage in his development, where he now has the ball playing abilities in his arsenal, and maybe we will see a very complete version of Valverde in a season or two.
Yeah, career highs in receptions per 90. This is from earlier in end of January. Did an analysis. Career high in receptions per 90. Progressive receptions peaked last season because he's not receiving as high in advanced. Career high in pass volume and completion per 90. Like, he's never hit 90%. I think he's 90% most of the season. 10 more passes than last year. And really the short passing, like 5 more short passes, significantly higher completion rate. His long ball completion, he's completing the most, not his highest completion rate, but he's completing a good amount. And you know, his take-ons have gone down a little, but his progressive carries are actually higher than ever, because I guess he's driving it from much deeper. And most 25% increase in just ball carries from year to year. So he's just like become a very high progression midfielder, and also 10 more touches per 90 than any other season in his career. So just improvement across the board. Like a 12 to 15% increase in volume, slight increase in accuracy. That's a lot. For a guy whose numbers were solid, not like insane, but now it's not Cruz or Modric, but it's like To be honest, it's a little like bit of a hybrid almost of Cruz and Modric. Like he's a lot more control oriented, like Cruz. He's not very crazy aggressive, but the style is a little more Modric, like in terms of just dribbling the ball, not as much like progressing with through balls, just more of a high volume engine. But yeah, I mean, I agree fully, and that's why I think I'm a little more confident at Cruz leaving now, seeing what Fede, because Fede and Tchouaméni can offer a lot. Like together, they're no bums in build up.
Just to add to everything, all the data you guys just put out there, he's also fourth in the league in progressive passes. He is seventh in the entire continent, in the big five leagues, in passes into the final third. He is second in progressive carrying distance. He's fifth in the league in interceptions. You mentioned his versatility. He's been a bit of a chameleon. He adapts every single year to what the team needs of him. I don't know if it's because his game is just not as flashy, but to me, he's probably the most underrated midfielder in the world at this point. Is there a single right central midfielder you would trade him for right now in Europe? I wouldn't trade him for anybody. And I also think, we were blessed to have Luka Modric as our right central midfielder for so long. I think we've found the successor, and obviously Fede has been transitioned into the team over the past few years. It's nothing new, but I think he has that place locked down. And I think you just the amount of different ways and the numbers back this up, the way he affects the game. I mean, he's also coming off a hat trick of assists, which was really impressive. Because if you look at the manner of all three of those assists, one of them was he gets into the left half space. Another one, he's in transition, laying it off to Vinny, and another one is a flicked header. He just gets into so many different zones and just does damage, and while contributing defensively. So it's like I'm glad you brought up the discussion, Yash. Everything we're saying and everything we're talking about, I think backs it up. Like he's pretty much incredible. Like, and I think he's underrated, maybe the most underrated midfielder right now because his game is just not as flashy.
Yeah, I think like I like not much to add from what you guys have said, but he's like the perfect midfielder for like any coach, like because he will build his game based on the system that he's playing in, and I think he's not as flashy as before, obviously, but I think this season in particular is my favorite Fede ever this season, like ever. He's been incredible. And on both ends of the pitch, he's improved in so many things. Like it's just phenomenal. And one thing worth noting that doesn't really count up in statistics is that he's also one of the reasons why Carvajal is having like a revival. Like he's not the biggest reason, obviously, but his defensive coverage has been perfect for Carvajal. Whenever Carvajal is going like playing as a pseudo right winger, he's at the right back spot, just covering for him. Every single time, he's not lethargic. He's always running. He's always doing everything to support Carvajal, and then it just complements both. And yeah, he's incredible. He can play in any system he's been playing in. And yeah, just beautiful, beautiful player.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.